But come back here. When it happens, what's going to happen?
Okay. What's going to happen? You lose 8 to 20 million people. When it happens, the entire productivity, both in the electronic field, obviously Silicon Valley, in the food production field, all of California, Oregon, and Washington, when it happens, a state of emergency unlike any other, how about the refugees? How can you take care? And you know this, even in the article that we're talking about, 3.5 million refugees to take care of? And what about when this happens? What happens to the underground aquifers that feed everybody's wells? And where do they go for fresh water? And then what happens to the productivity? Years of drought, years of famine, and years of water everywhere. Where did it all go? It's a very dire situation being painted by computer models. This isn't just a sensational thing, blah, blah, blah. It is absolutely a reality.
It is. Absolutely, Steve Quayle. That was absolutely Steve Quayle. Yep. Steve fucking Quayle. What an interesting fucking dude, Steve Quayle. Yep, that was Steve Quayle on USA Watchdog with Greg Hunter. And that particular broadcast is from November the 2nd, 2019. That would be last year, about 2 months ago. And Steve Quayle is ranting about the Cascade subduction. The Cascade subduction relates to a couple of continental plates. A couple continental plates that, if they shift the wrong fucking way, we'll get like, you know, the big one. You know how they've told us we're always gonna get the big one, the big earthquake, the big one. Drink a little water here before I continue on the subject of why did Dan think this would be a topic that would relieve the pressure, reduce the stress or whatever, be not so serious? That's a good question. Steve Quayle. Well, we'll get to that later. But anyways, I'm going to include the link to the YouTube video because it's worth watching. I like Steve Quayle, although before we end this subject, we'll probably talk about my Paul McCartney theory concerning Steve Quayle. But let's hold off on that till the end, right? Or at least the end of this subject, right? So according to Steve Quayle, scientists, geologists, experts, they believe that the Cascade subduction is about to go all kafloofly. All kaflooey, all sideways, all wonky. And that might cause like a 10.0 earthquake, huge earthquake. It could cause like multiple volcanoes to go off in the Cascade Mountains, up and down the Cascades. There will be a tsunami. There'll be a tsunami somewhere between 500 and 1500 feet tall. It will hit the entire West Coast. This tsunami will wipe out millions. The volcanoes, they'll wipe out the rest. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, folks. I don't know. Weirdly, this made me think about my dad, who was a logger, and God, I forget the year, but you remember that D.B. Cooper jackass who stole a bunch of money when he hijacked a plane and then jumped out of it, but nobody ever found him or the money. Well, my dad was a logger in the Pacific Northwest, and he always expected to find... I mean, he always hoped, right? Not expected. He wasn't that stupid. He bought a lot of lottery tickets, but he wasn't really stupid. He was just very hopeful. He always hoped that he would find D.B. Cooper hung in a tree with the money there. And I remember talking to him about it, and it was like, you know, Dad, you know, if you find the money, you can keep it. Just keep the money, Dad. Keep the money and bury the body. I think I was 8 years old. Keep the money, Dad, and dump the body someplace. Nobody will find it. If you don't know who Steve Quayle is, well, let's get to Greg Hunter first. Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog. I've watched his YouTube channel over the years. As far as alternative journalists go and interviewers go, I think he's pretty good. I mean, I think he tries to be a decent, honest guy in a world of deception. So, you know, that's not that easy to be. I mean, how are you the honest guy, the honest broker on the Death Star? I don't know. But I think he tries to be. Steve Quayle, let me put it this way. I'm going to talk about a weird theory because of something I saw. But Steve Quayle, for the most part over the years, has always seemed legitimate to me. Like legitimate, you know, a little rough around the edges, but legitimate. And kind of focused on the relationship between his own spirituality, his own relationship with Jesus Christ, and the current events of the world. And maybe he does have some hidden dark agenda. Maybe he's making millions of dollars in Branson, Missouri, selling doom porn to people, selling Christian apocalyptic tales. Maybe he's making money telling people about giants, the Nephilim, the giants that our government hides someplace. The giants in Antarctica. Yeah, Steve Quayle makes money, maybe, but I don't know. He seems like a decent guy. So, and again, folks, I'm not saying that he's not crazy. Listen, you know, you listen to me. Full disclosure, if you haven't heard it before, I could be totally crazy. I could be a nutcase. Actually, sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I think I'm crazy. Sometimes I think I'm trying to find a way in the world like the rest of us. Sometimes I think that the madness is a disease and we're all infected. Sometimes I believe I'm insane. Sometimes I wish I could have some cocaine. Sometimes I wish I lived in artificially intelligent robot Spain. No, I don't. That'd be bullshit. I don't know what to tell you about Steve Quayle, but this is what my heart tells me. He might be a little bit crazy, but that doesn't mean he's wrong. And I think he's on the good side. I don't think he's on the dark side. Let's put it that way. I'm a little bit shaky with my faith today, so, you know, I don't want to shake my foundations too much, but I think he's on the good side. It's one of the reasons why I will listen to him periodically, and I kind of enjoy him. because he is interesting. He'll talk about crazy ass shit. And yeah, you know what? Maybe he is just selling the doom story of the week. And if that's the case, fine. I have not researched the Cascadia abduction. However, knowing what I know about the history of the Earth, that is the planet Earth, as we understand it, these types of geological events happen. Now, do they happen that frequently? Well, no. If they did, complex life would probably not be possible. I mean, if we had a lot of these geological events all the fucking time, you know, it's the question of whether complex life would weigh more than a few ounces. You know, maybe you'd have insect life, maybe the oceans would be okay, who knows. But actually, even the oceans would probably have problems. I mean, again, when an earthquake happens, or I should say when a volcano happens, when these things happen, it's not just seismic activity. There's chemistry. There's actual crap that gets spilled out that isn't so great. And when it mixes with water, it can poison fish. It can kill people. The fact is this. These types of events can radically change ecosystems, can shock them so badly that they won't recover. So yeah, do these types of things happen? Of course they do. If you believe in the geologic record, and a lot of Christians don't, and some days I don't either, but if you believe in the geologic record, as it's been explained to us, these things happen. They happen periodically. But they don't happen that often. They happen, you know, sometimes once every 100,000 years or more. You know. And so when they happen, it's terrible, but it is, you know, nature. It's nature, right? That is nature. Here's the thing, though. Is that in all of our conversations that we have, if you know, for those of you that listen to my crazy fucking podcast, and I know there aren't many of you, but you are strong. You have a strong will to listen to my bullshit. If you listen to my bullshit, you've got the strength of 50 million drunk gorillas. That being said, the great discontinuity, when we talk about it, we often talk about it in terms of human events. But that doesn't mean nature can't, like, fuck with us. Like, if you were to tell me right now, Dan, there's a risk that we could have a tremendous amount of seismic activity, so much that millions of people will be killed. And it's even possible that all the land west of Interstate 5, which is a lot of land, ends up in the Pacific Ocean. And that's pretty fucking crazy shit right there. All the land west of Interstate 5 ends up in the Pacific, and that is crazy, crazy shit. And that means a lot of bad things will happen, because, you know, a lot of people live there. That'll be bad. If you actually had an event like this, millions of people would die within minutes. I mean, we're talking about essentially the type of event that if you're a Christian, we would call biblical. And if you're a scientist, you would call geological. The event of an epoch. There are, I think, two working nuclear reactors in California. I don't think there are any in Oregon. I could be wrong. And I don't think there are currently any functioning in Washington State, but I could be wrong about that. However, you know, there are a few nuclear submarines, and frankly speaking, if things were to go sideways, I would keep an eye on Banger. Although they may all be out to sea now. That's a whole nother thing. Like, I wonder if any of the naval ships will be in base when this happens. If you believe what Steve Quayle is saying, he thinks the government knows. He thinks the government knows this is going to happen. It's going to be epic. Millions will die. Which means also that you should keep an eye on the naval bases in the Puget Sound. I would keep an eye on any, in fact, Banger number one, because it's not just that it's a nuclear submarine base, but these are also nuclear, I believe these are Tridents, which means they carry nuclear missiles. So I would keep an eye on Banger. You know, if all the submarines are out, then don't worry. They can be out for weeks and months. But yeah, keep an eye on Everett. Keep an eye on the status of the military. If for whatever reason, it seems like almost everyone is gone for some particular month. Yeah, maybe. But this is the thing, it's, I just don't know. The government's never really had an issue sacrificing soldiers and sailors, so who knows. Yeah, but according to Steve Quayle, they know it's going to happen. They know it's going to happen soon. Now, keep in mind, like I said early on, this particular interview happened on November the 2nd of last year. So let's all get a little real about what soon might mean. Soon might mean next year. Soon might mean 100,000 years from now. I really don't know. This fits into the category of the type of tipping point event that could be good, could be bad. Like, this is going to sound horrible, but this could be good, could be bad. Especially if you think Guy McPherson is right. Like, if you think Guy McPherson is right and we're in positive feedback land with the collapse of the ecosystem, then about the only thing that could save life on Earth, I don't mean humans. Humans might not make it, but the only thing that could save life on Earth right now would be something like this. You know, a major geologic event so big that it would create a little ice age. And that little ice age would refreeze the fucking Arctic Ocean, which means it would fix the air conditioner. And it would also prevent all of the fucking, basically the carbon sink from the last ice age from being released over a 10-year period, which would be bad. If all that easily convertible methane and actual frozen methane were released, if that were to happen, it would probably be bad. But the question is, will it happen? If something like this happened, it would block it, you know? It wouldn't happen. We would have a little ice age. Probably. It would probably take one or more calderas. And in a previous podcast, I said, listen, if the powers that be honestly, truly believed that we were in runaway greenhouse event, which means this isn't like 100 years from now, it gets bad. It means that you don't need to wait 10 years. It means next summer, you're going to either start seeing really obvious signs of this shit, or it is total bullshit, so that's good news. That's how rapidly methane impacts the atmosphere. That's how rapidly a clathrate release event would impact the atmosphere, is that by next summer, it would be impossible to ignore that we were in runaway greenhouse in a runaway greenhouse event, or a Venus syndrome. And at that point, we're fucked. You know, we're fucked. So who knows? Like, I've said this before, the powers that be, if they believed this was happening, and again, I don't know, what do I know? I'm a Gumbus McGee in fucking Little Saigon. But if the powers that be believed that the clathrate gun trigger had been pulled, and that we were in the midst of a massive series of methane releases that could not be stopped, not even with, you know, atmospheric heaters, not with any crazy chemistry, it can't be stopped. The best they can do is convince people in America that things are still fine by creating a little local weather with chemical ice nucleation and geoengineering. But other than that, the big event, they can't stop it. Can't be stopped, won't be stopped, and it will ruin everybody's day sooner than you can imagine within a few years. If they knew or believed that was going to happen, I've said this before, I'll say it again, I have no doubt they would trigger a few calderas and call it nature. Oh, fuck, nature fucked us. Nature fucked us. The calderas are going off. Nature fucked us. Human beings, well, we won't be able to make food for a while. Fuck. But you can have the new BioCube. You can have the bio cube if you're willing to take the number. You will have to put a number on your forearm, but you will get the bio cube. Now, don't ask what's in the bio cube. If you ask what's in the bio cube, you end up in the bio cube. So don't ask what's in the bio cube. Just be happy that it's, you know, Tabasco flavored. It's savory. And it contains 1,000 calories of nutrients and proteins and sea greens from the sea. Yeah. A runaway greenhouse event would be catastrophic for all life on Earth, not just humans. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough one. It's possible that life survives it, like around those sulfur vents at the bottom of the ocean, assuming the oceans don't mostly boil off. But yeah, a runaway greenhouse event on Earth, it wouldn't be as bad as Venus. It would just be bad enough. And so you could see an Earth, hothouse Earth, where the temperatures are in the many, at least, you know, above 100 degrees pretty much everywhere, and probably in the 150s. And yeah, that would be bad, and maybe worse. Who knows? I'm not a geophysicist. I'm fairly certain it couldn't be as bad as Venus, because a lot of that is the distance from the sun as well, and the composition of the atmosphere. But could it be half as bad as Venus? Maybe. It might be half as bad as Venus, and that means, oh, instead of 700 degrees, it's only 400 degrees or 200. Only 200 degrees today, Ma. Can we go outside? Yeah, stay away from the lamprey rats. Hey, Dad, it's only 200 degrees outside. Can we go outside? Yes, 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 but stay away from the tentacled pumpkins. Those pumpkins now have tentacles. They're monstrous and they'll eat you alive. Just for your water, just for the water inside of you. Just be careful out there, son. Yeah, I don't think people will be frolicking in 200 degrees. I think that if that were to happen, it would be really bad. Maybe, this is my basic theory, I think that it couldn't possibly be as bad as Venus, which means that it'll probably be about a third as bad. And if it's a third as bad, Antarctica, and the giant alien pyramid, the giant, that was the earthquake. Oh boy, we just got a trembler. That was a 1.2 on the Dan fuck-up scale. Yeah, there are a couple nuclear reactors in California, and there's a bunch of nuclear waste at Hanford in eastern Washington. And so if you were to take all of the publicly known and unknown potential sources of highly radioactive material on the West Coast, a lot of this material and these reactors would either be west of I-5, like, I think Diablo, isn't that the one on the Pacific coast near San Diego or something? The point is, You're either west of I-5 or just east of it, and you're probably in a pretty bad spot if this, you know, once in a 100,000-year thingy happens. If something this big happens, probably all of that radioactive material and those reactors are basically in question. And I know there are people out there say, Dan, nuclear's safe. More people die from coal dust. All of that could be true. I don't think Fukushima's been good for the Pacific Ocean. Okay, I'm just going to get that out of there. Now how you feel about nuclear, if you want to convince me thorium is great and we could have safe nukes, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck. Can we at least admit that Fukushima probably hasn't been good for the Pacific Ocean? Like, it would have been better if it hadn't have happened, maybe? Can we at least get to that point at this point? I mean, almost 10 fucking years. Really, almost 9 years. But nearly a decade after Fukushima, why do we have to keep lying to ourselves about how not a big deal it was? It was a big deal. It caused a lot of damage, and it's still causing damage. I don't know, folks. I don't know what to think about it because I almost wanted to say that the story from Steve is almost kind of optimistic because, you know, runaway greenhouse would be terrible. This kind of event would be awful. Wouldn't it be nice if maybe we had 10 or 20 years of just really decent stuff happening? Like, but what if America became a freer country? I don't know how this will happen. I don't. It won't happen because the Republicans or the Democrats, they're all whores. So all the hookers and whores run this democracy. This is a hooker democracy on the Death Star. Yeah, I know voting doesn't work, but at least they make it seem like it works. And you're all into it, man. You're all into the hooker democracy of Earth. The hooker democracy of Earth. The most amazing of all hooker democracies. Most powerful rail guns of all the hooker democracies. More nuclear weapons than any other hooker democracy. Yeah. Democracy of Earth, the United States hooker democracy of the land of the free and the home of the brave and the home of the hookers, mostly hookers now. Mostly hookers. I don't know, people. Let's talk about a couple things related to seismic events before we move on. Number one, and you can do your own research, but over the years, I have heard and I have read that massive amounts of pressure on the tectonic plates, and these are the plates of essentially Earth that sit on the mantle of the Earth, that sit on lava, essentially, you know, molten Earth. But these are like basically like you know, yeah. You can imagine them as like, well, how can I phrase this? Giant rafts, almost like rafts that sit on an ocean of lava, almost, not quite. And these rafts, they move. They don't move very fast, and they're all butting up against each other, so that's not so good. So you got all these rafts, and some of them are butting up against each other, and you get all kinds of weird events. And holy shit, we just had a cosmic event in Sector 12, and that sent a rush of subatomic particles our way, and that superheated the Earth, and now the rafts are hitting each other faster. Yeah, that's called space weather. And yes, space weather can impact the Earth's geology. Holy fuck. So now we got a little extra energy in there. Now the bell's really ringing. And all these rafts or tectonic plates are bumping up against each other. And you get earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis galore. But another thing you get from EMF, from the pressure buildup, is potentially plagues of madness. It's a theory that people think that people's brains can be impacted. Now, this is not a crazy theory. For those of you who have studied directed energy weapons and the use of energy weapons by the government, you probably know that you can use microwaves. In fact, people afraid of 5G are afraid of it partly for this reason, right? You can use microwaves and microwaves and nanoscale waves to impact human behavior. You can actually make people crazy using certain kinds of microwaves and certain types of nanoscale waves. And so, yeah, you know, 5G. But what you get when you get these plates hitting each other, you get tremendous amounts of energy built up, and sometimes this buildup manifests itself as, you know, not just electricity, but a plasma. And these plasmas can actually go through the Earth, and actually they can show up. Like, people will report something called ball lightning. Ball lightning might very well be a plasma release from the tectonic plates in some cases, not all cases. So yes, there's a lot of energy built up between these plates, and that energy can manifest itself as a lot of electricity, a lot of EMF, and potentially a lot of crazy, scrambled brain syndrome, if you want to think of it that way. So, you know, it's worth thinking about. Maybe a lot of this fucking crazy, this really bad crazy we've seen in the last few years, maybe that's related. I know people are crazy as fuck on the West Coast. That might be related, people. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I really don't want a giant tsunami coming my way. Yeah, I live on a little hill in Seattle, but I don't think I'm high enough up for that shit. So I'll be drifting away on that day. You won't ever hear from me again if that happens. That'll be real sad. Oh boy, I'll have a memorial service of two people, a hooker and another drifter will show up. And the hooker and the drifter will only show up because they were paid. Now let's talk about my weird-ass Paul McCartney theory that might lighten things. So, if you're not aware, Wired Magazine, and I'll try to remember to put a link in if I can find it, but Wired Magazine Italy. Wired Magazine Italy, not regular Wired. Wired Magazine Italy, back in the, I think in the mid-2000s, had an article about Paul McCartney. Like, what if Paul McCartney really did die sometime in the 1960s and he was replaced with Pho McCartney, and Pho McCartney ruined the Beatles? Yeah, John Lennon, he signed a non-disclosure, but he still had to be killed. John Lennon signed a non-disclosure, but he still had to be taken out. That's right. So here's a weird theory about Steve Quayle. I was watching Greg Hunter just now, like I said. And I've seen the guy over the years, and suddenly he seemed more coherent, because he's not usually that coherent, and he seemed really coherent. He looked about 10 or 20 years younger, and his face looked a little weird, like, you know, it looked kind of like Steve Quayle, but it looked a little bit, you know, like you were trying to make somebody look like Steve Quayle, who was, you know, 10 or 20 years younger. And I know, Dan, you're going to say that's crazy talk. That's crazy. But let me give you a theory. Let me give you a theory. What if the powers that be... What if the powers that be, they know that the clathrate gun trigger's been pulled, and I presented this theory before, but this is the part that relates to Steve Quayle. What if they know that the clathrate trigger has been pulled? Oh yeah, before I continue, that whole Wired magazine. So in the 2000s in Italy, an Italian Wired magazine, I forget the journalist, but they broke the story, yeah, that Paul McCartney had been replaced and that there was plenty of evidence, photographic, medical, and otherwise, to say that Paul McCartney back in the 60s was replaced with Phil McCartney. And yeah, I don't know if that's true, but I will tell you. Let me keep going on Steve Quayle. So yeah, this interview, he seemed totally coherent, totally together. So here's my what if. The crocodile knows, the government knows that the clathrate trigger's been pulled. They put Guy McPherson out there to be all crazy. Or maybe he's legit, I don't know. I hope he's legit, because I don't know. But they got people out there saying the sky is falling just to fuck with people. But they also know that they need a way out. They need a way to maintain their lifestyles in the post-apocalyptic superworld. They need a way to maintain their status and luxury and their wondrous lives in the post-apocalyptic superworld. And they can't have that with the Venus syndrome. But ice sounds nice. That sounds like skiing. That sounds like, yeah, hot tubbing in the snow. That sounds like polar adventures. That sounds okay. But in order for us to do this, we're going to need some new disinformation agents. Now, this Steve Quayle guy, a lot of people listen to him. What if he came out and said, fuck, there's a government conspiracy. They're covering up the Cascade subduction. But the real Steve Quayle sat in on this meeting with the CIA on July the 6th of 2019. And he said to the CIA agent, listen, dude, I don't work for you. I don't work for anybody except for the JC, and that's Jesus Christ. So you can, okay, how can I put this? I'm going to try to phrase this the right way, Mr. G-Man. Oh, yeah, you can fuck off. Fuck off, G-Man. 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 Now, then the G-Man pulls out his 9mm and says, listen, Steve, I'm not going to show you the movie. You don't need to see the movie. You know the movie. You know the movie where we show, you know, Richard Nixon and other people that special camera angle of, you know, John F. Kennedy getting assassinated, the angle you don't see in the Zapruder film. You know that movie? We're not going to show you that movie there, Steve. Because we know you know about that fucking movie. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you one more chance. You work with us. You tell people there's this crazy-ass seismic event coming. You give us the cover we need as one of our disinfo agents. And here's what you get. Here's what you get, Steve. If you join our team on this one, you're going to get a hooker, you're going to get a condo, you're going to get a lifetime supply of cocaine, you're going to get to be able to participate in all the fun winter games of all the other Illuminati hectic freaks at Antarctica's condo paradise. You will be a man respected. You'll have a podcast. We'll let you podcast for an hour a week, buddy. And all you have to do is for the next, you know, 3 to 9 months, tell people that this terrible seismic event is coming. That maybe the government knew about it, but what did they really know? Will you do this for us, Steve? And then Steve, looking up at the G-Man, says, you know what, I already told you. I work for Yahweh. I work for the Lord in heaven. You can tell your boss, Lucifer. You can tell your boss, Lucifer, that I can't be bought. Hookers, not with cocaine, not with jewels, not with fancy condos, not with ski holiday snow paradise adventures. There's nothing that can buy me, G-Man. Nothing at all. So they, you know, put a couple bullets through his head. They dump his body someplace actually near the Cascade subduction, knowing that when it folds over sometime in, well, the estimation is March or April of 2020, when it folds over, the massive event will swallow his body and all the truth. And all people will know is fake Quail. The other Quail, the Quail that talks about the horrible thing the government might have known about, but nothing can be done. Yeah, it's kind of silly in a way. In a way, it's not. I mean, you think about disinformation, it's not one person. You have to have an army of people. You just don't do it with one dude going out and saying, holy fuck, the sky is falling. No, no, no. You got lots of people, lots of serious people. And like I said, I was looking at him today and he seemed really coherent and together. He seemed well coiffed. He seemed energetic. He seemed about 20 years younger. Now, did he still kind of seem like Steve Quayle? Yeah. But Paul McCartney probably still kind of seemed like Paul McCartney too, right? Enough like Paul. Enough that people could be fooled. Enough that people could believe. I don't know, man. It's crazy. That's a crazy fucking theory. I don't know why I came up with it. Probably because I'm crazy. Another thing about weird events like this, before we go on to the next topic, I have mentioned this in the past too, but it got me thinking. Like, not just about plagues of madness due to electromagnetic force and plasmas exerted by continental plates rubbing up against each other. Like two lesbians in heat. There's that electromagnetic force. But what if, and again, red alert, I've mentioned this theory before in previous podcasts, but what if some events are so big, so huge, so gigantic, so impactful, and this isn't original either. Other people have proposed similar theories throughout history, actually. But what if some events are so big that we actually feel the heat from them before they happen? Like, we feel the heat. We feel the fire and the brimstone and the chaos. We feel the fear and the sadness and the death. We feel the broken lives and the buildings crumbling. And we feel that. We start feeling it before this shit happens. That sometimes shit is so fucking big that it impacts time going both directions. And this type of thing, I mean, it can only be called a soul harvest. Okay? That's what it really is, a kind of a soul harvest. It's a harvest of souls. I mention this because, you know, when we're trying to understand where our thoughts come from, we should always keep in mind that we are organic beings, we're living things. We have emotions, you know. We have parts of us that respond to the world, but they don't always respond in rational ways, or at least they don't always respond in ways that are completely understood. Like, it's possible that you feel a sense of anxiety one day as you're walking outside, and that's because of a job interview. Right? You have a job interview coming up, or you have a test coming up. You're getting married in a couple days. Holy shit. It's also possible that in some cases you feel anxiety because, again, space weather, the Earth is in the midst of a cosmic storm. Cosmic rays enter the atmosphere. They create a cascade of particles, and for whatever reason, you are the unlucky person to be exposed to some weird wave of microwave or EMF energy that fucked up your day. Just enough to make you anxious. So, and this kind of thing, I'm not saying this has been proven to be real. There are simply people who believe it's possible. It turns out you really can't experiment on people like you used to. You used to be able to do all kinds of cool experiments with people, like the Milgram experiment, where you made people believe they were torturing people. Fuck. You used to be able to, like, drill holes in people's heads and make them talk to aliens from planet Zed. You used to be able to do all kinds of things with people, you know, in a hospital or a healthcare prison. That's what a hospital is. A prison for healthy people so they can become sick. Hospital is a healthcare prison. And next topic. We spent most of this one on one topic, didn't we, really? The destruction of the West Coast of the United States. And just before we leave it, let me get this clear. If this happened, if what Steve Quayle described happened, whether it was natural or man-made is irrelevant. It would be bigger than just, you know, a few million people dying instantly. That would be bad. And it would be bigger than just a couple reactors basically being uncovered and polluting what's left of what's alive. That would also be bad. You'd have a couple Fukushimas, and probably those Fukushimas would not be easy to deal with because, hey, chaos, fuck. But you'd also be dealing with all the knock-on effects. And I mean, Steve Quayle kind of talks about this, but he doesn't really go too far into it. You have a lot of knock-on effects. Something this big is going to impact not just the climate, but it's going to impact the ability of human civilization to recover. And maybe even specifically the United States. Like, I think a lot of people assume our system is way more resilient than it is, when in reality, our system's very fragile. We've discussed this in the past. It's so fragile that sometimes I'm surprised it stays together. Like, a lot of what keeps our system together at this point, if you ask me, is the cargo cult. If it weren't for the cargo cult, if it weren't for people believing that their votes matter, if it weren't for people believing that somebody up there cares about them, if it weren't for all the fucking media and programming, if it weren't for the cargo cult, and really the ubiquitous cargo cult, the cargo cult of everybody having a glowing rectangle in their hand so they can constantly be asking the sky orb, how do I become a better me? If it were not for the cargo cult and the way technology has enabled it, I think this system would have been toast years ago. It's just a lot of people really, really want it to work. They want it to work so bad, they're kind of okay if it becomes crazy and murderous and destructive. Like, I think people want the system to work so bad that if you say to them, listen, would you be okay with the United States, if the United States had to nuke every other country on Earth just to stick around, would you be okay with that? And I bet if you took that poll, yeah, I bet you get half of everybody. And guess what? If you gave that poll to other people in other countries, you'd probably get about half of them too. Yeah, it's about that good everywhere. Next, last topic. So I was watching these holiday commercials, these commercials to go on trips, places, and it occurred to me recently that I've seen a lot more of these commercials in my YouTube feeds and other places, a lot more of these advertisements for these magical, natural getaways, these places where life looks alive. It looks like the water is clean and clear and not radioactive or foaming or on fire. It looks like there's no algae blooms that have killed off all the fish, you know, because of deoxygenated ocean syndrome or Canfield Ocean. Fuck. Yeah, I've seen a lot of these commercials for these holidays in places where there's birds and animals and creatures, all of which look very healthy. And it occurred to me that what if that's bullshit? Like, what if all these commercials for these holidays that I can't afford, what if that's the point? They know that Dan, can't possibly afford to go on these magical holidays. So I can't go to India on this magical fucking commercial trip, rediscover luxury in India. All I've got are, you know, farmers killing themselves with Monsanto by drinking it, water riots near Chennai, and a lot of fucking chaos. Now, I mean, that's one India. But according to the commercial, it's beautiful tigers and jungles and nice people. And there are no problems and everything's fucking... Everything's okay. Everything's fine. Everything's fine, you know? And I'll see these advertisements for like these tropical paradises. And the water looks beautiful and there are animals everywhere. And all the coral reefs are alive. And then you read and you see that, yeah, a lot of those reefs are dying. And those places really don't have fish anymore. So it's almost as if these commercials, and this is going to sound weird. I got to end it here. This is weird. But it's almost as if these fucking commercials are designed to convince people that everything's okay. They're not for advertising. In fact, I don't know. This is going to sound even crazier. If you called up one of these weird sites with the advertisement, they would probably tell you they're part of some advertising group. Oh, and here we go, the non-governmental organizations again, the NGOs. Oh, we're just part of the Bahama Ad Council. This is stock footage from 1995. Oh yeah, it looks really beautiful, but yeah, there's nothing alive there no more. Oh no, we don't sell tickets. No, 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 you shouldn't have called this number. Yeah, you want to call another number? Not this one. I'll see these little ads. They'll pop up, you know, in the side panels. They'll pop up in the videos. I'll see them if, you know, if I'm watching Amazon and using their IMDb bullshit. It'll be a commercial for some crazy-ass place that's really beautiful and nature is still healthy and alive. But if you call the number, nobody's there. If you like this podcast and you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, and you've helped out the people you love in your immediate life and you've done the things you need to do and you have resources for the months ahead, how many months there are, who knows, maybe it's a million months, maybe it's the big gray nothing of infinite mediocrity, maybe we all slowly melt into chemical gumbus, and maybe my life is nothing but a pointless disarray. And I believe that's true no matter what. But whatever the case might be, if you've taken care of the stuff you need to take care of and you enjoy this podcast, there will be a link to Venmo and PayPal in the description of this podcast. There's also a link to those two sites to donate on my SoundCloud homepage. You're not required to. You're not expected to. If you have the resources, I'd appreciate it. My goal is to get to a number where I can do this basically full-time, which might not involve that many more podcasts, but it might just involve better quality, right? More interviews with interesting people, maybe even hookers and cocaine. I can only dream of hookers and cocaine before everything goes insane. I can dream of getting in a Maserati and driving 400 miles per hour, away from the Lahar, away from the tsunami, away from the volcanic eruption of my own heart. And for the rest of this Sunday, for all of you here and in Iowa, getting ready for the Iowa caucus as if I give a fuck. For all you folks out there campaigning for the blue or the Trump, for Warren, for Yang, Joe Biden, what the fuck, that buttafag. Don't be surprised if Tulsi shows up on the radar next year. I kind of think Hawaiian's on the menu. For all you out there on this Sunday, looking up at this wonderful sky of ours, for all you out there hanging out with family and eating stew, for all you football people drinking beer, have a happy Sunday. And for all you motherfuckers, for all you motherfuckers west of I-5, I salute you. Thank you. all you people out there trapped in the wilderness, for all you folks being hunted by the dogs, for all the hookers and the hustlers, for all the warlords and for all the Trimulac folk, for all the weird freaks of Broadway, for all the crazy nutcases down by Pioneer Square, and for all the people of Little Saigon, I salute you.